Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Recording,
everybody. Hello, hello.
What up, what up?
Oh, welcome to three black women in a row.
Yes. We're together. We will certainly uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And welcome to the Love is Blind After Show. This is our final installment for season 6. Today, we will be joined by a very special guest, Nedra Glover Tawab. Nedra is the reason we are all talking about setting boundaries.
Yep.
I don't even think that's an overstatement. I think it's a fact. She is the boundaries queen.
How many people did you have in common when we looked her up? Was it 67 mutual?
So she has 1.8 million followers, and there was like 89 mutuals. Like everybody in my network is following her. Yes. For those who don't know, Nedra is a licensed therapist practicing relationship therapy for over 15 years and is the leading voice in the mental health space on discussing boundary setting. As I said, 1.8 million of us are following her on Instagram. She has been guiding all of us along with her philosophy that a lack of boundaries and assertiveness is what underlies most relationship issues. And so it's imperative to learn just how to set boundaries with your loved ones. Mm-hmm. So y'all know Nedra is going to break it all the way down for us in regards to Miss AD, Mr. Clay, Jimmy, Chelsea, even Amy. Yep. And we talk a little bit about Amy and Johnny as well. Nedra is a New York Times bestselling author of Set Boundaries, Find Peace, A Guide to Reclaiming Yourself, as well as the book Drama Free, A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships. She really is out here setting all of us straight on how to set boundaries to improve our relationships and find peace. We are beyond excited to have her on the podcast today and to learn from her wisdom and just what we can all learn from this here season finale. Now, before we dive in with Nedra, there are a couple things we got to talk about. A couple things. Traitors wrapped up, so that happened.
Oh my God. Yes.
Oh my God. So we will definitely talk some traitors. There is also more Jerame tea.
I can't believe this man. He's so messy.
So messy. It's wild. I thought Clay would be the one with all kinds of skeletons.
Absolutely that closet. Same.
Right?
His path is clear.
I haven't seen a thing about nothing. Clay. Please DM or email us if you have some like verifiable, but I haven't seen shit in the press about Clay. But Jerame, it just keeps tumbling out. The TikToks, the girls keep coming out the woodwork with stories. So we'll talk about that. I also want to talk about this Cyrus family drama. Noah Cyrus and Miley's sister and the mom and the mom's new husband, and that shit is crazy.
And Billy's husband too, her dad's wife.
He got drama too? I don't even know that part.
Oh girl, yes. Oh yes. Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, that family. So we'll talk all about them. And then you want to talk about Charlemagne the God.
I have to save a little moment for Charlemagne. Okay. Because he had an apology that was on par with Chris Harrison's on Good Morning America. So we'll talk about that.
God. No. To Risha Tisha. Risha Tisha to her. Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, want to listen to this episode ad-free with our juicy pre-show hot takes? Join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. Head to patreon.com/twoblackgirls1rose. You can also watch us on video. You can join us for our weekly reaction video. We just wrapped up watching Millionaire Matchmaker season 3 and 4, and we are about to dive into Broad City. We are so excited that people have voted. Y'all just knew exactly what we wanted to watch this month, so thank you.
Yep. Yes, thank you.
And yes, thank you so much. I just love Broad City so much. We're just going to be cackling and howling. You and I used to watch it together, and I haven't watched it in a hot minute, particularly
really?
By myself, better yet with you. I mean, at least a couple months. I don't go too long.
Oh, okay.
It, but,
okay. Yeah.
So that'll be really fun. And then, you can try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. You got nothing to lose. Might as well check it out. And shout out to the Rose Garden.
Love you guys.
We are so excited to welcome to the Love is Blind After Show, Nedra Glover Tawab. Nedra is a licensed therapist practicing relationship therapy for over 15 years and is the leading voice, an expert, if you will, teaching all of us, including her 1.8 million followers on Instagram, how to set boundaries. So y'all know we got questions upon questions about Miss AD and Mr. Jimmy in particular. Nedra is the New York Times bestselling author of Set Boundaries, Find Peace, A Guide to Reclaiming Yourself, as well as the book Drama Free, A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships, making her just the person to help us make sense of everything that went down with Clay and his whole family dynamic. Nedra is also a fellow podcaster. She hosts the podcast You Need to Hear This, where she listens to callers' dilemmas and advises them on healthy ways to set boundaries, improve interconnections, and find peace of mind in their daily lives. And lucky for us, like everybody else on the planet, Nedra also happens to be a fan of Love is Blind and is here to break down this season's finale. Please welcome to the show, Nedra Glover Tawab.
Yay! Yay!
So excited to have you, Nedra. Should we call you Dr. Nedra? Do you prefer Dr.
No,
Nedra?
I am not a doctor, but you can call me Dr. Nedra. Now that you said it, and I said
I think I'm going to.
If you just want to throw some letters on there, I'll take it.
Yep. Okay, so Dr. Nedra, what is your relationship to Love is Blind? Like, how many seasons have you watched? Are you excited every time it comes on? Coming soon for Netflix?
I watched portions of the first season. I am a very spotty watcher of dating shows. So I like to get a little bit of the first one. I feel like I maybe watched the first three and the last three episodes. I feel like everything in the middle.
That's a great strategy.
If you pick up right at the end, they kind of recap it and tell you. It's like, I don't need to waste TV time. But I did that with the first season and it was really fun, interesting dating concept. And then with this season, I started watching like backwards, so like 11, 10, 9, 8.
Oh my goodness.
So I feel like I'm, you know, I watched 12 kind of when that one came out, but I feel like I'm caught up again. I think they just tell you all of this information, you kind of pick up on it, and if I have any questions, you know, Google is always there to help.
Of course.
Nice. What do you watch the show with? Do you have like a watching ritual? Are you binging all six of those episodes on the couch? Are you eating popcorn? Are you watching with someone?
Well, last week I had a friend come over who is also a therapist, my therapist. I had him come over and we watched it together. And then my husband snuck down there. So I was like, oh, you want to watch the
finale? Always sneak.
Because, he started chiming in. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I watched with a friend and it was really fun to be able to have that back and forth banter of, oh, he gaslight, you know, like with a therapist. So it was really fun for us. And we've agreed that we'll both watch the reunion, and I bet that will increase our sending memes to each other, because ever since we watched, we've been sending memes back and forth. So it's really fun for friendship.
Yes, it is. It's a good bonding show. That's for why sure. I think everybody in the world is addicted. What other reality shows do you watch?
Well, I just binged Love on the Spectrum.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it was so good. I would say that's the only one. I feel like my reality TV days, it was so intense in the beginning. You know, Bobby, the being Bobby Brown.
Being Bobby Brown. Okay. Wow.
Flavor Oof. Of Love, Bad yes. Girls Club.
Oh, ooh, not the Bad Girls Club. That's the Bad Girls Club. Oh, no. Oh, I no. love
that. All of the Housewives.
Yeah.
So now I don't watch consistently, but I may find myself, like, if I travel for work, my ritual was to turn on Law and Order, but now I've been going back to, okay, let me keep up with the Kardashians. Let me see Beverly Hills Housewives. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because it's like, you know what? This is where I left it. Like, they're still dressing up and going to parties.
The same shit.
Party are they going to?
The Homeless Not Toothless Association.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like they're still arguing over whose house is fake. It's like, I've missed nothing.
Nope. Not a thing. Nope.
Nothing and everything at the same
time. Yeah, yeah. So they are really fun. But yeah, I just watched Love on the Spectrum, which. Season 2, I started at season 2. I love to start at the end. I don't know why I started season 1, but I started at season 2 and I was boo-hooing.
Really? Were you?
My gosh.
Oh, I need
gosh.
To watch.
Oh. Yeah, it took
it's
me
really
out.
It's really a nice show.
Really? It was like watching, what's the show everybody used to cry to that came on NBC with the family?
Oh, This Is Us.
This Is Us.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
It was described
it would
like
take
that.
People out, yeah.
Yeah, the show everybody cried to. That's how I felt watching Love on the Spectrum. I mean, love is beautiful. And to know that people have such difficulty meeting a person is something that I consider, but witnessing it, it just was another level of compassion. Like, I want to be a matchmaker now. I'm like everybody needs somebody. So it was just too sweet, and you know, the way their families love them, like seeing not even the dating stuff, but their families being so loving and compassionate and considering, like, gosh, if I'm not here anymore, who are they gonna have? I'm like, oh, you just I can't even.
Damn.
Yeah, and these are young people. Most of them are like 22, 24. Yeah, they're young.
Wow. Yeah, oh, really? So. Dang. I got to watch that one. I have not watched Love on the Spectrum.
Well, get your Kleenex.
I do love a good cry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a tearjerker.
Can we give you one recommendation, Dr. Nedra, for a couple's therapy on Showtime? If you have Showtime.
Yes.
You have to. Oh, are you going to be on? Are you going to be on next season?
No. So I watched some of it, but the challenge is it's like watching training. Because I'm a therapist.
You're watching what you do every day. It's
It's like watch people podcasts.
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's the worst.
It's great show for people. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've heard from a lot of therapists. It is a really good show for people who are not therapists. But what you're doing is watching people. It's like watching a training of somebody doing a therapy technique.
Okay.
Right.
But I think the situations are good. I think it's good for everyone to watch. Like, I get why they're into it. Like, I'm like, yes, I think this is a great show.
Fascinating.
Everybody, please go to couples therapy before you get married. Please.
Yes. Big advocate of premarital counseling. Talked about that a little bit on our podcast. Nice. Okay. So we want to dive right in. And let's start with AD and Clay. A lot to unpack there. So AD seems so confident and so sure that she is going to get married. She was so sure, yet as viewers, we were all so unsure. Like, we all knew Clay was going to say no before he said no. Can we talk about this, like, delusion of being in love and falling for someone's potential rather than facing the reality of the relationship? Because AD seemed so attracted to who Clay could be, but wasn't facing the reality of what he was telling her and showing her every day.
I don't know if I got the impression that he was being as a little confusing, but also he did lack some confidence. And I saw her as trying to build his confidence. Not that she was trying to make him into something that he wasn't, but like, no, you're a great person. So it's possible she saw it as like a low self-esteem, a low confidence. He needs reassurance, okay, like these sort of things, and not necessarily as indicators that he didn't or could not be in a relationship. It seemed to be something around his personality, not necessarily his ability to be in a relationship. I think the bigger indicator was the unwillingness to compromise, not necessarily how he spoke about the relationship in the future, but relationships require compromise. And so if you're like, no, I will work this amount of hours, I will do this thing, this will be that, that is more of the red flag than his iffy language around like being in a relationship with someone you met a few weeks ago.
Okay. So back a couple episodes where he was talking about just being very unrelenting of his work schedule and asking her to make grace for him. That is something that we talked about it some, about the idea of giving grace and kind of how AD or Clay can kind of make amends in that realm. But that maybe should have made AD pause a little bit more as his like ability to not compromise. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think there were a few things there that attention could have been drawn to in terms of him not being ready to pursue a relationship. I think one of those indicators is like, what has happened in the past with people you've dated? Like, what is your past dating history like? If you've had all of these situations where you're leaving the relationship when certain things happen, guess what? It'll probably happen with us too. There'll be no difference there.
Yeah, that tracks. And we never heard about any of those. So hopefully we'll hear them on Wednesday night at the reunion. Well, AD said that she's tired of caring relationships. And what we interpret that as is that she's tired of being the strong one. She's tired of being the one to build up that confidence the way that she built it up with Clay. And a lot of women can definitely relate to this, the feeling of being ready for a commitment and vulnerable for a commitment, but then having to convince your partner that you should both lean into it. And we're not sure if this is part of like emotional intelligence or emotional maturity, but it seems like more often than not, women are more ready than men. So what are we... Is this, because this is indicative of an overall problem that we're having as women, right? Dating. Is that something that you've seen with men and women as well? Is this a pattern that you've seen? Or is this a specific situation with AD and Clay?
I think women are more prepped for marriage and commitment. And men are not. I don't take it as necessarily a gender thing as much as it is a nurturing thing, right? Like we nurture people.
Oh, nurturing. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We take it as a gender thing. Like men are this way and women are this way. And it's like, well, men are very much nurtured to not have to prepare for relationships. They're very much nurtured to play the field or for certain behaviors to be normalized. Where with women, you know, you hear opposite messaging. You are told to, you know, I've not heard a little boy being told many things about planning for his wedding, and there's not a lot of movies about princes as much as there is about princesses. Like there are a lot of things that are, you know, geared towards women to be ready for this stuff. And unfortunately, our male counterparts are not getting that same education. And so when they get to this same age space in adulthood or a similar age, we have to wait for them to catch up because we've been prepping for 26 years. And they've been prepping for four.
That is so true. My niece is 9.5 months old, about to be 10 months old, and has a baby doll. And I'm like, why? You are a baby. Why do you have a baby doll? That doesn't make sense.
Even the fact that they do that, like give babies baby dolls to play with. Babies. Is so crazy. Yeah.
So weird.
Starts so
and
early.
It's like, does a nephew in a similar situation, he has a truck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just learning playing. how to He's learning how to drive a pickup truck. He is mm-hmm. not learning how to be a father or take care of a thing.
Mm-hmm. 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 An interesting point that you had to our previous question was that AD has this kind of like, she's just looking at the good. And I think mm-hmm. something that her mom told her was pretty interesting. And also Clay's mom told them. So Clay's mom told Clay and AD to give each other grace. AD's mm-hmm. mother asked asked AD to give Clay time after he said he doesn't come home at night to a strange apartment that they share. He is terrified of cheating on her. It makes it very known throughout the show that he is probably going to cheat on her. And mm. she made a beautiful date plans for them and he just didn't show up. And her mother said, we'll just give him time. As a therapist, do you think that that was good advice considering AD has known Clay for only a couple of weeks? And also, it seemed like it was quite impactful, right? This is her mom telling her this. Mm-hmm. So what did you think about that impact that her mom had on her?
I can't imagine a world where it would be healthy for you to be dating a person for 3 weeks and they're making high level mistakes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
3 weeks in, be perfect.
Mm. Wow.
Agreed.
Damn.
Agree. It's the beginning.
Be perfect. It's yeah. the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the fun part.
Wow.
You can't, you shouldn't even be burping yet. Let alone missing
oh
dates.
Oh my God. And not coming home. Oh,
you have gotten far too comfortable in yeah. this relationship too mm-hmm. early. Like you mm-hmm. have. No, this yeah. is this is still the very much be on your P's and Q's.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are in the beginning of this. Now you're having third year problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the very beginning when mm-hmm. this is the time to bend your schedule to be with the person. Do you know how many mm-hmm. hours you spend in a new relationship being acquainted, how tired you are from staying up talking, spending mm-hmm. all this time that you don't have with this person? If you're unwilling to do that in such a short period of time, what do you think that'll translate into within a year?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, that makes a lot of I love that. Be perfect. Because in thinking about even the couples that are like so boring, Lauren and Cameron, Amy and Johnny, Brett and Tiffany, they were perfect.
They were perfect.
Mm-hmm. And they're yeah. still married. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No hiccups.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope.
I feel like the moms were saying, give grace, because it was so early on. So where does that... Because it's almost like AD's mom is like, it's only been 3 weeks. Like, give it some time.
Mm.
You know?
If I had a daughter who was dating someone for 3 weeks and she reported he was late, date someone else, daughter. Mm. Like, I would wow. not say give him grace. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough to, I just, that's like having a job. When you first get a yeah. job, if you're yeah. late, within that first, what, mm-hmm. 30 days, 60 yeah, days? Isn't right. that mm-hmm. terms for you to just not have the job anymore? Can't they be like, mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
we want someone to be punctual and you weren't. Like, mm-hmm. you're out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why with dating would mm. we give someone grace in the very beginning where these things actually matter and they're important? And it wasn't even as small as being late. It mm-hmm. was not showing up
mm-hmm.
yeah. at all.
Yeah. Yeah. He just didn't come home.
He just fully wasn't there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. With no communication.
That
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she set up that whole date and he didn't wow. know and she didn't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Whew. Those are like glaring red flags that were like very swiftly just like glossed over by AD
yes.
and by the viewers too, because they yeah. she didn't yeah. dig into it, so we didn't really dig into it. But that mm-hmm. that's a really great point.
Mm-hmm.
Now Clay has tremendous childhood trauma with his dad's infidelity that we see him processing in real time, right? Leading up to the wedding, during the wedding, after the wedding, he's processing this. Clay was pretty self-aware as to what was going on with him. He was aware of his father's mm-hmm. past and, you know, their divorce and infidelity, him being a part of it, and still chose to go on reality TV to find love. How can mm-hmm. someone be Clay or otherwise, how can someone be this self-aware and very, recognize their issues and their past they need to resolve, but still take no steps towards self-improvement? To us, it just feels like you're ignoring the elephant in your life. And I would feel like that'd be hard to do, but yet so many people like Clay do this every day.
Change is really hard. And I think sometimes we underestimate how hard change is. But when you think about, like, if you say to yourself, hey, I'm going to stop using profanity, there are going to be 10 times in a day where you're like, so change is really hard. And that's something as simple as profane. And I'm saying simple because now we're talking about him changing his dating patterns.
Right.
It's hard for us to make changes and really stick to them, even when we're aware that something is a problem for us. Even when smokers are aware that smoking causes cancer, it says it on the cigarettes, you know, still really hard to stop smoking. It's not like having that knowledge is like, you know what? I'm going to quit this because it's bad. No, there are habits wrapped around this. There are things that I would have to change to coincide with this change I'm making. There are certain behaviors I may like having. I may like, you know, being in short-term relationships and not really having to be accountable or protective or supportive of another person. There are aspects of that that I might actually enjoy. And so if I change, that's something a little different I have to do. If I change, I do have to consider another person's time. So that change, although it seems like, oh, it's just right there, it also means that I have to commit to a different thing that I may not be ready for yet.
It's like fear of the other side, like fear of having to commit to a new Clay or a new whatever, whatever's going to come with being in that new journey. It's like taking on a new job. Like, do I want to commit to that or do I just want to stay comfortable where I'm at?
Yeah. And he's very much in the awareness phase. I know this thing is an issue. I know that this is something that I need to work through and it's going to take some time. He, his parents were married, what, 24, 25 years? That's a long time to be to observe a dysfunctional relationship and to be in the middle of it. And so I don't think this was anything that was going to be resolved over 1 month.
No.
This is something that requires a whole lot of time and a very patient girlfriend that he is committed to.
Not wife.
That's a huge step from I have commitment issues to marry.
Somehow this made sense to him when he signed up. I don't know, but
well, you know, I think TV is enticing. There was another person on the show who, oh gosh, I can't remember, the guy who was in the love triangle, and they ended up not working out. They were broken up by the time everybody had their group meetup. He was still talking to the other girl in the pod. And the woman said to him, I can't remember what her name is, but she said to him, why did you come on this show if you weren't ready to commit? And he's like, I was. And it's like, it sounds like a good idea until it's real. It's like when you go parasailing, it's great until they actually strap you in and you're like, I'm going up there.
Oh my God.
It's like, up there, actually, I just want to watch people parasail. I just wasn't really trying to go up there. So it's all good until it's happening and it's like, oh, like married?
Wait a second. Wow.
Well, we think that his unresolved trauma with his family and his just all of his unprocessed feelings and his father's visit did not help before that wedding contributed to Clay.
And what did his father say?
Nothing.
I said, who sent that father in there and said, say something important? And he gave him a poem. And I was just like, what is happening? This is so weird. Like, I am just very confused about why he even went in there to say anything.
It was useless.
He said nothing.
Such a lack of self-awareness from the father, too. He didn't even know how that was going to, like, come across on TV. And I know he's not. He's probably regretting that now. But Clay, consistently warned AD throughout the process about his parents' past impacting him and how it was messing around with him now and messing around.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
With him when he was watching Love is Blind season 4. Why? Our parents' past and trauma and dysfunction in our family tend to become our own. And what we're wondering is, why does that happen so intensely, right? When Clay knows it's bad. He's like saying it and he knows it's a bad thing. It's not like he's like, you know what? I'm just going to be Polly. He's not trying to spin it into a green flag. He knows the red flag. Why does it follow him like it's a shameful dark cloud?
Our parents are teaching us how to be in relationships. I think with Clay and with many folks who deal with situations that they don't want to repeat, the awareness is actually a protection. Because if you're aware that this is the thing you don't want to do, it's very likely that you will do a lot of things to avoid doing it. Like he did say, if I get into a relationship with a person and I feel like I've lost the connection, I break up with them. Mm-hmm. So guess what that means? I'm not going to cheat on you because I'll just end the relationship. I'll break up with you. I'll end the relationship. So it's not that he has a history of cheating. According to him,
right.
He does not have a history of cheating. When I hear people say, oh, I'm not sure if I want kids because my parents were not great parents. It's like, actually, you will be more aware of how to parent well than people who have not had the situations that you have. Mm-hmm. The people who parent poorly have a very low awareness of how they parent. Here you are being hyper-vigilant about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are steps that could actually be protective for Clay. He probably would be more likely to be like, I think we need some more days. I think we need to start going to couples counseling. I'm sensing that we're losing something here. He might be a lot more advantageous around like, let's stay in this relationship than we're thinking. Just because he's saying this out loud, this fear out loud, doesn't mean that he's going to do that thing.
Right. Yeah. I think when he was saying it, it felt like he was trying to protect AD. He was almost trying to tell her, say no when you get up there, because I'm probably going to cheat on you. That's what it felt like.
Like a threat to the viewer.
Yeah, it felt like a threat.
Mm.
When you were watching, did you feel that way?
I didn't feel like it was a threat as much as it was, I have some stuff to work through and I don't think I'm ready to be in a committed relationship. I don't know if you ever get over the trauma of your father cheating on your mother who you loved in the way that his dad did it. But at some point, Clay can decide to still live a healthy life despite what he experienced, and he can agree to not repeat those patterns in his marriage, and he can certainly agree to not expose his children to that level of dysfunction.
So on that same pathway, Clay and the work that he has to do, in your book, Drama Free, A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships, you very clearly outline how people can identify their dysfunctional family history and patterns and figure out a way forward, how to break the cycle and kind of continue on their own path. Clay has done that first part, right? He's identified the dysfunction of his father's behavior and the pattern of infidelity. but he seems stuck in being able to choose the best path forward for himself. And everyone keeps saying, we've said it a lot, he has a lot of work to do, right? He has a lot of work to do. What is the work that Clay needs to do? Like, what, a window into that therapy session, what is it that he's going to be unpacking with his history?
As Clay's mother stated, what could be very healing for Clay is for his dad to initiate that conversation.
Yeah. Okay, so it starts there. Mm-hmm.
If his dad is unwilling to do that, I can foresee Clay having some resentment and animosity issues toward his father.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the father go, you know, if he moves forward with acknowledging what happened, and really being responsible for it, I think that will be a whole lot of healing for Clay.
Mm-hmm.
If that does not happen, I could see in a therapy session where he needs to really process this idea that he can trust himself.
Mm.
Despite what okay. other people have done in their relationships, that was them and their choices, and you are a separate person, and people mm-hmm. don't have to cheat. They make a choice to cheat. Mm-hmm. There aren't situations that don't have any sort of lead up, right? Mm-hmm. Like there mm-hmm. is some DMing that is happening. There is some liking of the pictures. There is yeah. some coffee dates.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it's not like you just walk out your house like, who wants to cheat with me? And all these people yeah. run up, right? Like there is... Right. There's a process to it,
right.
and you have to be open to it. So even if somebody, you could go out and somebody is open to a one-night stand, but guess what happens when you're not?
Mm-hmm.
There is no one-night stand.
You don't, mm-hmm. yeah.
You don't yeah. have one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that affirming around, you actually have a lot of choice in this. Cheating is not something that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
has full knowledge of how it impacts a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right. you know, I think mm-hmm. he has a lot of protective factors there that he's maybe not seeing because he does have this fear. And it probably has been explained this way. I think this is another way that we gender people, that men will be men and da 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 da. So men do feel this level of powerlessness over choosing to cheat.
Mm.
Because they are constantly right. taught cheating yeah. isn't a choice. Yeah. It's just something that happens to you because you mm-hmm. a man and you got this sexual energy mm-hmm. where you just want to cheat. And I'm like, I think women have sexual energy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure y'all not cheating with just men. Not sometimes you are, but y'all mm-hmm. also cheat with women who have sexual energy. So mm-hmm. it's not like mm-hmm. y'all have to be in all these different relationships. It is a choice at some point, and we are not highlighting how we're putting people in this situation to make that choice.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, something, I think something really, really powerful that you say in your book, and it's so simple. And I've heard you say it on a podcast before as well. Visit your past, but don't stay there. Mm-hmm. Clay's family, mom, dad, siblings, all can watch this back while it's recorded on Netflix and also are watching it play out on social media and everywhere else. How do you not stay there when everything is in front of your face and recorded for international internet television for everyone to see?
You know, he might benefit from some folks who've had some scandals in the news where things
stay with them. Yeah. Okay.
You know, there may be some community around talking to other people in these situations. And I hope that the world offers him some grace.
Mm-hmm.
And despite what happened in this situation, I hope that we are compassionate to him when we see him. I remember this movie, A Low Down Dirty Shame with Jada Pinkett, mm-hmm. and she watches soap operas, and she sees one of the characters from the soap opera in real life at this restaurant, and she walks up to him, and she's like, Chance from As the Heart Turns, and she punches him, because on the show, he's cheating on this woman on the show. Yeah. So she's taking this like TV dynamic to mean that this is everything that this man is, even in real life, even though he's playing a character. And I think sometimes we forget that that person was being vulnerable. Their intention was not to hurt, another person, this decision was not made easily. Although, you know, everybody have all these memes about the moment I knew Clay was going to say no and all of this sort of stuff. It is a very brave decision to not marry someone. I've seen couples who are in premarital therapy who do not need to be married, but because they put a deposit down, they will stay committed and be divorced a month later.
Ooh,
because they don't want to say no. They'll stay committed. They'll spend the $20,000 and then 6 months later, can I get our records? We going to court. We about to get.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
You shouldn't be married.
But
it takes a lot of courage to say, you know what? I understand we will lose a little money here, but we should not be married. So to say that, I think that's a very courageous thing. Is it hurtful? Absolutely. But is it saving somebody some time in the future? Yep, it sure is, because it's a decision that you should be sure of. I'd love to pivot and talk about the couple who had no issues at all. They got married. It seemed like they were each other's person from the beginning.
Amy and Johnny.
Yes, Amy and Johnny. That is, you know, no hiccups, no situations. He was, and I don't want to use perfect as a framework, but he was as good as he was supposed to be, and she was as good as she was supposed to for a 3 to 4 week period. For a 3 to 4 week period, we don't need to have any issues. And I think that measure of a relationship, it shows us something. What happens when people are doing things we don't like and we're crying about them, and 2 weeks ago we didn't even know them? Now I'm crying about you, and you weren't even a part of my landscape 2 weeks ago. That's interesting. I should be smiling. People should be like, what's going on with you? Like, people should notice the joy on my face. They should say, girl, you glowing. That's the response you should get after a 3 to 4 week period when something is going well, not everybody reassuring you it's okay. I think Amy was very sure about the situation. I think that couple in particular, I like that there was no drama. That's what we need, because we do teach a lot of, you know, when I like to listen to R&B songs, and when I listen to them, there is something about this script of dealing with people's stuff that's like, I like this beat, but I don't like what you're saying. Like, I don't know about this. This pain management R&B you talking about. Like,
trauma dumping R&B. Like,
this is, I like your features, but I don't know about this. You know, and that is the programming. Like, relationships are hard. They're challenging. And to some extent, they are. But after a certain point, nothing needs to be hard and challenging when you first meet someone. Nothing needs to be hard and challenging within a few months. You know, things should be fairly pleasant. And that's when you could get to this experience of, like, when we have some problems in the future, we've already had a foundation of pleasure, of support, of being there for each other, of connection. We didn't start with arguing. We don't have any pain points. So when you see that, and as you stated, like, I did look up a list of couples that have actually lasted. A lot of them were those easy connections where it was just like, I like you, you like me, let's go on this trip they're going to take us on, let's go to this reunion, we will hold hands, let's, you know, that's it. That was their whole storyline. Now, they might have got less time on TV, but the whole storyline was, it's working.
The boring couple of the season usually is, they make it last, and viewers, we don't like it because, like, where's the drama? But they came there with a purpose to find a person, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it was drama free because that's their person, and it was boring, mm-hmm. but that's their person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. It's drama free because that's your person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a metaphor for dating. That's what we should be looking for. Mm-hmm. Which person has the least amount of drama? Because drama, you may have some eventually.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But which connections? If you're having to have uncomfortable conversations too soon, red flag.
Yeah. Definitely.
That is true.
Speaking of uncomfortable conversations, Clay and AD and Trevor, Clay's father, and Rita, Clay's mother, expressed the exact same excuse to their spouses within 3 weeks of each other. We saw Clay say to AD, oh, my dad cheated, and so did Will Smith and Diddy, and I don't even know what to look up to. I don't know how to be a husband. No black man is a right husband. I don't know how to do it. And Trevor said the same thing to Rita. He said, well, you know, my father, he abandoned his family, and I would never do that, but I had nobody to look up to. And in your book, Drama Free, you document a lot of different stories. But have you ever seen generational trauma just boomerang that quickly, where we saw the same conversation happen within weeks of each other?
You know, I think when we have that idea that I don't know anybody who's doing anything, we're not thinking wide enough.
Yeah.
If you can think of Diddy, you can't think of, I'm trying to think of somebody else. Gosh.
I don't even, has Diddy ever even been married? Like actually married to anyone?
I don't think that's a good example.
I don't know why he brought up Diddy as an example.
I don't know why he brought him up.
Why can't you think of Jay-Z? Why can't you think of Dave Chappelle? Why can't you think of, like, there
Barack
are married
Obama.
People.
Yeah.
Barack Obama. Like, there are a lot of people who are married who have, you know, if they've had an issue, they've been accountable for it. What's Oprah's partner name?
Oh, Stedman.
Graham. You could think of Stedman Graham. I mean, there are tons of people that you can think of. But I think our view of that is, oh, let me think of the worst people possible, and this is all I can look at. Well, you following the wrong social media accounts.
Looking at the
because
wrong people.
There are other people who are living a life, and maybe their life is not as loud as Diddy's. But they are living a life where they are in a relationship, and that relationship is honorable to the people in it. And so I would suggest you having more conversations with those people. Sometimes it is this idea that we're surrounded by people who are, you know, cheating and everybody's doing this thing. But it's like, who are we picking? Like if all of my friends are doing this thing, you know, if all of my friends are doing something, I'm the picker of the friends. So this says something about me. And so can I pick other people? Are there elders that I could seek who have a different perspective about relationships? Absolutely. But if I want to think of all the example and find all the people who fit this idea of I don't have no examples, then that's what I'll do so I can continue to have excuses.
I think it goes back to what you said earlier about masculinity. I think he's picking very hyper-masculinized men out in public, and also clearly his father. I mean, we saw at that conversation at the wedding, he was hyper-masculinizing himself to his own son.
His achievements and accomplishments. And I'm like, I just don't know what this has to do with your son's wedding day.
It's anything, sir. God.
Like, I feel like you're talking about, you're sharing this poem that has more to do with you. You're talking about sports stats and how you were this athlete, which has more to do with you. So, you know, going back to Clay for a second, as I'm thinking about that dynamic.
Yeah.
He probably can't talk to his father about what he did because it seems like his father has been very domineering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
To even use that moment to center mm-hmm. himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very domineering. So mm-hmm. this may be Clay's struggle to have on his own, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I'm actually here in Charlotte. That's another part of the reason I'm excited about the show.
Right.
So maybe I'll run into Clay and just slide yes. him my card.
Yes.
Can help you.
Yes. With the books or a session. Can help
right.
you.
Right. What you need. What you need, Clay. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Oh my God.
Yeah. I despite what it was, I had a lot of compassion, seriously, for Clay, because I hear mm-hmm. that story unfortunately unfolding with a lot of Black men, that mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. is this idea set up for them, and it's not a good one, and it's yeah. something that they really have to struggle to break free from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. Well, Clay, at the very end, said, "I'm really similar to my dad. I see a lot of similarities with him." And when he's talking about going to therapy and kind of breaking free from this pattern that, as you said earlier, he hasn't even actually said. He doesn't even, according to him, cheat that often. How do you recognize those similarities between someone that you probably have to set some really, really serious boundaries with? How do you have the, like, keep your integrity? You know what I mean? When you're like, I see that I'm really similar to you, so I can't talk to you as often.
Mm. Well, similar in what ways? Did he break that down? He's not a cheater.
He didn't break it down.
I think we could be, people have many parts. So the parts yeah. that we connect on, it might not be the bad thing. So I don't know what he meant by that.
I think he meant that he's an egomaniac, and so is his dad.
Big ego. Yeah, big yeah. ego. Probably used they to just having running through women.
Mm-hmm.
We never actually saw a scene of Clay talking about his past with women or infidelity mm-hmm. or not. We're kind of assuming he hasn't cheated, mm-hmm. but we never got that confirmation. But definitely.
I felt like there was a point where he said he hadn't. He leaves relationships.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? I feel like a girl would have come out by now and said something. And mm-hmm. nobody's come out and said anything. So mm-hmm. he might be yeah. telling the truth. I think he just has mm-hmm. lots of situationships. Yeah. That's what it seems like.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't commit to anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's what he's talking about with his dad. His dad didn't even really commit to his mom and they were married. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. definitely didn't commit to these other girlfriends. And they also both have very large egos that get in the way of their progress. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I was reading your book and you were talking about just the boundaries that you can set, and sometimes even taking a break can be a real safe space for people. Taking a break from somebody who you're similar with, and that's why you're in the therapist chair, that seems really difficult. Or is it not? Am I overcomplicating it?
I don't even know if that's necessary. Mm. I think sometimes the healing we have to do in our relationship is with that dysfunctional person and being able to tolerate them in a different way. It's not always.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got to step away from this person. It's like, you may need to develop some boundaries.
Yeah.
You may need
right,
to figure
right.
out how to share your voice with this person and not avoid them. So there are some things that we might need to do in that relationship. Speaking of boundaries, one of the more difficult interactions, and I thought this was more difficult than Clay and AD, was Jimmy and mm-hmm. Amber.
Oh, or Chelsea. Yeah.
Chelsea and Jimmy. I meant, she definitely wasn't ready for a relationship. And mm-hmm. I definitely saw a lot of relationship anxiety there around mm-hmm. like, what he's doing, what is this, tell me how much you love me, you didn't just look at me, why didn't you look at me for 10 seconds, it was only 2 seconds, give me 7. You know, so it was like this constant need for reassurance. And you know, when at the top of, you know, episode 12, where, you know, he broke it off, I think some folks' take online was like, oh my gosh, he gaslit her and he, you know, let her go this far. But again, there is something powerful about deciding not to to walk mm-hmm. down that aisle yeah. when you have indications that this is not a lasting relationship? Do you marry people with all these red flags? No. Right. That means you're going to be divorced. You will be a part of the 50% mm-hmm. unless mm-hmm. you just are determined to tough it out. Mm-hmm. But that is mm-hmm. an end. If you no. want to, let's not focus on being married as much as we are focused on staying married.
Staying.
And there mm-hmm. are some mm-hmm. people on that show who recognize, like, we could get married, but we will right. not be married. Mm-hmm. We will not be married in a year. And that mm-hmm. is also important to me. Yes, I want to find a partner, but I want a lasting relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everyone was very impressed and like almost surprised that Jimmy seemed to have a boundary and finally set a boundary mm-hmm. with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And she seemed very blindsided by not realizing that there was a consequence finally to her actions. How could mm-hmm. Jimmy have, I guess, communicated this consequence so it wasn't like a blinding moment to her? And I think maybe he communicated all along, like, you need to respect me in certain ways, and she just didn't. But how do you come up with fair consequences, and then how do you communicate those when it comes to crossing your boundaries?
On a dating show that ends in marriage and we are engaged, that is the only consequence you could issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
There's not a lot of there's not a lot of, you know, I'm going to make you wear a blue wedding dress. It's like, no, I will not marry you because I've asked you. Again, we're talking about 1 month.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In 1 month, I've had to ask you to do these things and respect my boundaries in all these different sort of ways. And in 1 month, I've had to repeat myself several times. The consequence is no marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I have already said this, and if this is not something that you're getting in the beginning, this isn't going to last.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There is no other formula that you could put on that spreadsheet other than it won't last. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is not make it last forever. This is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. There it is, I guess. Yeah. Sure. Chelsea forgot, I guess, what show this was and what was coming up
next.
Yeah,
she picked out her wedding dress and everything. Oh, my God.
And it was a beautiful wedding dress. It seems like mm-hmm. a really wonderful experience for her. And, you know, maybe she'll get to keep it and use it in the future. Yeah. But
oh, God.
And she'd been married before, I think.
Crazy.
She was.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She was.
But I was certainly concerned about the level of reassurance. And yeah. I'm not even going to say that maybe she doesn't have that in other relationships. And on a dating show, maybe she's like, I just want to make sure we get married. So
that's
keep on saying.
That's what it gave.
Yeah, like for the sake of this show, there are certain things we have to do. So do you love me? You still like me? You're attracted yeah. to me? Are you okay? Yeah. You know, like all of those things, like trying to secure that you're meeting these requirements for that show. But it's also mm-hmm. giving a lack of confidence, mm-hmm. a lack of trust in this other person that they are making this decision. And it's also not trusting to constantly question a person's behaviors and interactions and what they meant here. And, you mm-hmm. know, the iffy language she had around, that's the guy I'd usually go for. And mm-hmm. they seem like such a, you know, interesting couple. So those are things that, you know, I would wonder about actually bringing into a marriage. That energy is probably mm-hmm. not the best energy to get married. Again, 4-week dating show, you should be on your best behavior.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That really is it. Well, thank you so much, Nedra, for joining us.
Yes,
this was a really great conversation. You helped make a lot of things make sense.
Yeah. So simply. That's what's so good about your book, too. It's like, don't visit the past. Just keep going. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You can just keep going.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for your patience today, ladies. You have made me more interested in this show, and I can't wait to watch the reunion and share more memes with my people.
Yes, continue the conversation, have fun in the group chat.
Yes.
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 Awesome. Where can people find you? Any exciting things that you want to shout out happening on in your space that you want people to know about?
People can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, all of the places at Nedra Tawab. My website is nedratawab.com. I have books and workbooks. If you visit my website, you can learn more about me.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Nedra.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.